Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Fun first hour. We have a fun second hour on deck for you guys as well. Matt Youmans will be joining us 30 minutes from now in studio to give out his NFL and college football card. Obviously, it's his college football Saturday rivalry Saturday. That's a fun thing. So we're looking forward to that.
I mean, Matty's been a busy guy. Flew back from Hawaii. Yeah. Went right on, did two shows on Thanksgiving Day. Just dedicating himself to the network. Appreciate him. And then he's got the big thing. I mean, we're losing. They're dropping like flies in the contest. Everybody's losing. So it's a big one. I mean, everything goes on. And so he's a busy guy. Appreciate him coming on.
Yeah, he went to go see his Purdue Boilermakers win the Maui Invitational. How about that?
Yeah.
Purdue, one of the best teams in the country right there. We'll see if they can right last year's wrong in the NCAA tournament, but that's still months from right now. But right now, football is on the mind, and the Lombardi look-ahead is on the mind. And this one is a little bit, it's special and near and dear to our hearts this week after the news of the restraining order that is out there with our buddies Hall & Oates there.
Oh, but, my.
I mean, like, everything that's
they're
going
on.
They're in the
news. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, anything that you wanted to touch on with that before we even get into the Hall & Oates?
Well, you know, it's been a well-known dispute for years that even Darryl Hall, when Darryl Hall and John Oates played on stage together, they had to have separate dressing rooms. They didn't want to see one another. You know, Thomas Gable over at the Borgata, we would talk often about it. I used to see Hall & Oates. They played there quite often, and you'd go, and he would, like, had to have separate dressing rooms. They had a different element. I mean, it was very tensious then, and now. Now, you know, it spilled over. And at the end of the day, I mean, seriously, these are the most successful musical duos. Can't we all just get along a little bit? Yeah. I mean, they're wealthy because of one another, you know, and Darryl comes out and says, well, he's not my musical collaborator. He's just a partner. So anyway, but we can't go for their feud, but there's a lot of games we can't go for this week either. Do you realize, Femi, that tomorrow, 11 of the 12 games that we're going to watch tomorrow and Monday are 3.5 points or under in the spread?
I mean, it sounds like a coin flip week here. Crazy results on deck.
Exactly.
That's speaking of Survivor, I mean, that's going to be a tricky one for those people to navigate, those of them that were lucky enough to get through the Thanksgiving Black Friday slate.
How about the three people that put, I think it was 12 people put the Packers in? Did you think they even looked at the score on Sunday, on Thursday? You think they even paid attention? It just felt like they lost it, right?
Well, I think my guess is that those are the people that had the multiple entries, like that had like 6, 7, 8, 9. So where they maybe said, all right, I'll put like 8 entries on Detroit and 2 on Green Bay. I think that's kind of what was at play there with those people. Like I would be stunned if somebody just said, you know what, I'm going to roll the dice with an 8.5 point dog and put that my Survivor ticket on that. I think that was a lot of like gamesmanship with the multiple entry people.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that maybe it was just they just ran out of options. You know,
that could be the case. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you run out of options, then hey, well, you pick the team that ended up winning there. But I did see that somebody had all 10 on Detroit, which that must have been a rough Thanksgiving for whoever that was. Oh, 10 entries. That's tough there. But let's get into it, though. The Lombardi look ahead. We always kick it off with our Hall & Oates play. And this one is over in the Meadowlands there between the New England Patriots and the New York Giants.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we still don't know who the starting quarterback is for the Patriots, right? I mean, they haven't discussed it yet. But, and so for me, without knowing that, I think it'll be Mac, because to me, if somebody would have demonstrated, look, we got them separated on the graphic up here. Isn't that perfect?
You know, our crew does a fantastic job.
Absolutely. Great job, Elliot and crew. If it would have been known who's going to be the starter, I think it would have come out, right? But I think they've split the reps. I think the biggest issue in New England is that Bailey Zappi, who had a brief moment of success last year beating Cleveland in Cleveland, hasn't been the same player. In this summer, he turned the ball over, got himself cut, actually. So there's uncertainty there. How do you take DeVito? And knowing that he, you know, I know he played well last week, but there were wide open guys. I mean, if Del Rio was going to get fired, he should have got fired last week for his play against the Giants when, you know, they didn't cover, they blew assignments. New England coming off the bye, I don't think they're going to do that. Belichick's usually pretty good here in these situations, but they're so poorly quarterback that I don't know if you can go with that. And so, yes, Mac is better than DeVito, but how much? And when you have a game where there's no quarterbacks, for me, it's like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to play it. I'll probably watch it, but I can't go for it. I mean, let Darryl sing it all.
Yeah. Patriots Giants, the official Hall & Oates play of week number 12.
I can't go for that. No can do.
Training order.
No
man.
Can do. Who would you do? You agree with me on that one at
I
all?
I do. I would not touch that game. There's a lot of games this week, honestly, that I thought would fit for the Hall & Oates. I mean, Carolina, Tennessee. Like, do you want any part of that? I don't.
I thought about taking that one for Russo, and I just couldn't get around. I couldn't get to Levis. I just couldn't trust Levis well enough to do it. Right. I just didn't feel like he was going to, you know, and I don't trust the Frank. I think they've quit on Frank Wright, frankly. I really do. That was my motivating factor going the week. And the line moved from 4 to 3.5. It opened at 4. It went down. So if there's ever going to be a team that could beat them, I mean, Tennessee can't cover anybody. They can't cover anybody. So, and Reich's played there before as the head coach of the Colts. Now, Vrabel's usually beat him. I wrote in my notes at the beginning of the week, Femi, I said, just disregard anything that has anything to do with Vrabel's numbers based on past performance, because this is a completely different team. It's the same thing with Belichick. Like, you can't go by, well, Belichick's different against these core players. Well, because they're a completely different team. The trends don't work in those situations.
Yeah, especially when they have the quarterbacks who they have. And like, Will Levis is very young, had a promising first game there, but we're seeing the signs of a rookie quarterback. Like this is what happens, and a lot of guys struggle, and he's struggled over the last few weeks here.
He can't put together 5 or 6 really good plays together. He just can't do it. And, you know, and even when you go back and watch him against the Bucs, you know, he couldn't do it. He couldn't make the plays he needed. You know, the at the end of the game is when they made the plays. That was it. And so I just couldn't get my head around. Same thing with Jacksonville. He couldn't get himself going. Like, they the game's over, and that's when he started to make plays.
Well, you mentioned the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's get to your line of the week. Bucs at the Colts. Indianapolis coming off of the bye. 2.5-point favorites, total 44.5. Why did this one jump out to you?
Because I there's so much money coming in on Indianapolis, and the line won't move to 3. That always causes me a concern, you know. And if you watch the Bucs play against the 49ers, they played, you look, the Niners are a good team. They move the ball. I mean, Baker Mayfield has played better this year than he did last year at any point. And had he played like this for Matt Rhule might still be the coach of Carolina right now. I mean, he's played much better this year. Now, defensively is where I got a little scared, because the Bucs are going to be out 2 starters, Jamal Dean and Lavonte David, and their starting defensive lineman. Plus, when you break this game down, I mean, the Bucs have not played good defensively pretty much in the last 6 games. They're 1-5 over the last 6 games, and they haven't played well in those games. I mean, they've given up, they've allowed 390 yards in the last 6 games, and they've just forced 6 turnovers. I know the Colts are not great on offense, but they should move the ball. So why isn't this line moving to 3? Because I think Tampa will move the ball on them. I think the over could be in play here, and I think it could be. If I had to take anybody, I would take the Bucs here. I think the Bucs are a good play at 2.5. I was hoping it would get to 3. It never did. It never did, because there's a lot more money coming in on, you know, it's like on our spread here, this is by DraftKings, the money's fairly even. No, excuse me, the handle's not. It's 66-34. Why isn't that line moving? Why isn't that line moving to 3? Why? Tell me why. They don't want to give you 3.
Because they know that we're all lurking, getting ready to hit that button on Buccaneers plus 3.
So they all know that the Bucs are a good play.
Yeah. And it's interesting, because obviously the Colts are favored in the game. Their schedule is not the most difficult coming up here, because they have this game. Next week, they're at the Titans. We just talked about Will Levis and how he struggled to play there. Then they're at Cincinnati, to where that game has now become, like, not easy, but obviously easier, with it being Jake Browning at quarterback and not Joe Burrow. Then you host Pittsburgh. Then you're at the Falcons. And then you close hosting the Raiders and the Texans. I mean, this could be a scenario to where, like, if the Colts kind of got rolling, could we be talking about the Indianapolis Colts as a playoff team with Gardner Minshew at quarterback? Like,
I can't see it. I mean, they should have lost last week, 2 weeks ago over in Germany to the Patriots. If Mac Jones just throws a completed pass there, I mean, you know, Minshew, whenever, how about this for a number? And this is what scared the hell out of me, why I stayed away from it. I didn't pick it in the Russo contest. He picked it as his last one. When Minshew's opponents score more than 20 points, which I think the Bucs can score against this team, he's 1-16 straight up. Well, when you're in a 2.5-point game, straight up matters, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, and the Bucs can throw the ball. They're 13th in yards passing. They're 14th in average per pass play. Now, they struggle when they get down the red zone like they did against San Francisco. But they move the ball against San Francisco. Don't kid yourself. They move the ball. And, you know, this is kind of like, I think this is their opportunity. With Green Bay almost being in the race here now with that win, who's the seventh seed? I mean, could you make a case for Tampa? Could you make a case for Atlanta? You know, there's somebody's going to be a seventh seed that's not really a good team.
Yeah, and then they're going to probably have to go to either Philadelphia or San Francisco. And to that, we say good luck. To that, we say good luck. Real quick, we got 30 seconds left. If you were still in Survivor and you could not use the Chiefs, who would you go with this week?
I lean Tennessee. I think it's hard. You know, I lean Tennessee. I think you got to almost take Tennessee. You got to grin. I mean, who else are you going to take here? You taking Pittsburgh against Cincy? I don't trust Pickett in this game.
I don't trust Pickett.
I would take a good coach at a home game who needs a win. That's what in a game that, you know, he's favored in. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee falls into that category there, but boy, the way Levis is playing, hold on.
Who would you take?
I'd take the Rams on the road against the Cardinals. That's what I'd do. All right, we'll talk about some deals coming up next. Betting bargain here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up on our Black Friday special now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $60 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Oh, we are rolling along here on the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, Matt Youmans will be joining us next segment in studio. Host of VSiN Tonight and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast will give out his NFL and college football card as we approach rivalry weekend here. But obviously, with it being Thanksgiving weekend, we know this time of the year, holiday shopping starts to kick into gear here. And that's when you get a lot of discounts and a lot of deals. Yesterday was Black Friday. We get Small Business Saturday today. We got Cyber Monday coming up as well. So to go ahead with that theme, we decided to try to find some bargains in the betting world. We call in this game, Michael, Good Deal or No Appeal, put together by our illustrious producer, Elliot Bowman here. We will start with the Alabama Crimson Tide. Right now, Alabama plus 700 to win the college football playoff national title. Good deal or no appeal with the Tide?
That's a good deal. I mean, look, I think one thing we don't, you know, we tend to have this memory of their team when they played Texas, but it's funny. We give Philadelphia so much crap for not looking great winning. And last year, all we talked about the Eagles were they didn't face any contest. They weren't resilient. This year they are. Same thing with Alabama. They're resilient. Typically, they never go through a season where they have to face up. They have to face tough times and overcome them. And I think this year they have. And Milroe starts out, he's just a running quarterback who doesn't even look up the field, to now where he's a playmaker with the ball in his hand. So I think there's no question I would have a good deal on this one. I think, can they do it? We'll see. I think they'll play Auburn really well today, not because Auburn lost to New Mexico State last week, but because I think they're the better team. And I think they'll give Georgia a hell of a game in that conference championship game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only hiccup would be that would they ever get left out of the playoff? But I wouldn't foresee that happening there. Like if Bama is a one-loss SEC champion, I mean, they're likely to get in. Although I know Texas fans will come kicking and screaming saying, hey, we beat them in Tuscaloosa. Why the hell are they going to get in over us? But who knows? Like that's the only hiccup on the 7-1 is what would the committee do if we all get the the chaos and the arguments of the debates that are coming up in a couple of weeks here. Let's keep it rolling, though. The Denver Broncos, Michael, to make the playoffs, plus 270. Good deal, no appeal.
A good deal. I like it. I mean, look, you know, they've come back. You have to throw out the bad game against Miami when you do their numbers, and you have to look at what they've been able to accomplish defensively since then. They're healthier now. And one of the things I talk about all the time is, who's your team? What do you want your team to do? And how do you want your team to work? And I think clearly Sean Payton understands that now. And he's going to run the football. Everybody wants to give Russell a ton of credit. Oh, Russell's playing really well. Russell's doing this. No. Russell's executing exactly what they want him to do, and he's doing a great job of it. They're managing Russell without using the M word, right? That's really what they're doing. They're managing Russell without using the M word. It's not flashy. He's had two turnovers in the last 4 weeks, right? I mean, that's all he's done. And they've been able to turn the ball over at a rapid rate. 7 turnovers in the last 2 weeks, 12 in the last 3 weeks. This is kind of how they have to play. And that's why on this 4-game win streak, you know, they beat Green Bay by 2. They took the field goals. They beat Buffalo by 2, took the field goals. You know, they beat Minnesota by 1, took the field goals. I think it's smart. I like it.
I don't like it, Michael. I love it. I love the Denver Broncos to make the playoffs. I actually bet them plus 525 a couple weeks ago to make the playoffs. Even at plus 270 right now, I think that's a solid look there. Like, they are playing some good football, and the schedule isn't the most difficult going forward as well. So I think Denver's actually going to get in, as long as they just keep it rolling there. Big game, obviously, coming up tomorrow against the Cleveland Browns. All right, back to the college ranks. Michael Penix Jr., quarterback of the Washington Huskies, undefeated so far, has put up a lot of numbers. Plus 700 to win the Heisman Trophy. Good deal, no appeal.
That doesn't have an appeal to me. I like Michael Penix, but I think we're in a two-team race here. All props to you. You saw this Bo Nix thing way before I did. I thought it was a St. Jude's play, but obviously they're putting up some incredible numbers, which takes it out. Even though he's throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage, we won't talk about that. You know, but I think Penix, that where they have struggled, has taken him out of it. It has no appeal for me. The game, even though they've won every game, I think those games kind of took him out of it. Now, I say that if he has an unbelievable game against Oregon, could that put him back in? Are the votes done by the time that happens, Femi? I think that would be my question.
I think the last day to vote, I believe, is the Monday after the conference championship game. So people will be able to watch that game before filling out their ballots.
I mean, it has slight appeal, I would say, for right now, no appeal.
I would say it has appeal because, like, I get what you're saying, that, like, Washington hasn't looked good over the last month here. Like, they've been kind of like the Eagles, sort of winning ugly in a sense. But recency bias is such a big deal with voters. Yeah. And we're dealing with humans, to where if he has a big game, and he would have to have a big game to beat Oregon the way that Oregon is playing, I think that could be like one of those like exclamation points of what has been a terrific season for the Huskies. If they run the table here, I think that he would be pretty live to win the Heisman Trophy. If you think Washington can beat Oregon, I think 7-1 is a pretty good price. I'll say good deal for Michael Penix Jr., even though right now it feels like we have a Nix versus Daniels race for the trophy as we see it on the final Saturday of the regular season. Back in the NFL, though, Houston Texans to win the AFC South. They host Jacksonville Sunday in what is obviously a massive game here, trying to go for the season sweep. Plus 235 to win the division. Good deal or no appeal?
Good deal. I mean, look, they played them tough. You go back and watch that last game. I mean, this Jacksonville team now, offensively, I know they play better. Lawrence plays better on the road, but he has not been. I mean, like I said last week, he's had 23 games of below 7.0 yards per attempt. He hasn't dazzled. They've got weapons. They can't run the football at all, Femi. They cannot run the ball at all. They're one-dimensional. Everything kind of falls on them. Even though I love ATN, they can't get them the ball. They're always in shotgun. There's no lead back. They don't really have diversified their portfolio. Now, they're 7-3 straight up in the last 10 games. I think it's going to be a hard game for them. And the way Houston's schedule breaks, if they win this one, they'll have the tiebreaker, and Houston has the easier schedule. So to me, it's a good deal.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of shopping here on this Small Business Saturday.
Yeah, man, our cart's getting full up. I mean, God almighty.
I don't think I have any money.
Who's
left
paying this bill?
It's a good deal for me as well. Luckily, these are on discounts, and we're hoping, though, on this Small Business Saturday. But yeah, no, I echo everything you said there about the Houston Texans. I think they have a pretty good setup to go ahead and win this division, which would be an unbelievable, after picking second overall to win the division the following year. That's a hell of a turnaround there. Back in the college, well, I guess a little college football and NFL with this one, a little bit of crossover. Drake May, the quarterback of the North Carolina Tar Heels, to be the number one overall pick in this spring's NFL draft at plus 275. Good deal or no appeal?
I think it's a good deal. I mean, again, I'm going to put it in my cart. Why not? Nothing's been declared yet, right? Nothing's been declared yet. And so I think to me, it is really a good play. I mean, a lot of things, you know, what happens if Drake May doesn't, what happens if Caleb Williams says he doesn't want to come out, he's going to go back. I'm not saying he's going to, but I think it's worth an investment.
The only reason why I'll say no appeal is because that we're so early in the process. And like, what if JJ McCarthy lights the world on fire in the playoff? Like, why can't he all of a sudden shoot up the charts and be the number one overall pick? Like, I feel like there's so many quarterbacks that I want to see some things play out a little bit more before getting invested here. But Drake May right now, it kind of feels like the tide has kind of turned towards him versus Caleb Williams. What was the kind of the presumptive thought heading into the season? All right. Baltimore Ravens, Michael, to be the number one seed in the AFC playoffs, plus 200, good deal or no appeal?
Plus 200. I think that has a good deal to it. I mean, we know Kansas City's struggling, and they're not just going to turn it on. Like, maybe Kansas City scores 34 against the Raiders, who won't have Max Crosby tomorrow, but maybe they won't. I don't know. You know, Crosby's, I think, listed as doubtful for the game, and it sounds like he's trending towards not playing, according to what the reports that have come through on the insider. So, I think to me, even if they get it back, I think Kansas City doesn't have very many games where they're worried about losing, whereas Baltimore still has some tougher games down the road. So I would say it's a good deal, but it borders on a little bit of a no appeal. I wouldn't rule it out. I think there's one thing we learned watching Thursday's games and watching last week's games is I don't know if we could sit here and honestly say or dismiss a team that are in these cluster of 10, let's say, that can go to the playoffs. I think there's a lot of parity. And what Brady said is true. What Brady said is really true. The coaching, the fundamentals, all those things are not good right now. And the teams that actually execute them are going to be the teams that win.
Yeah, it's no appeal for me. I still think Kansas City has the inside track on the one seed here. Last one, though, bonus one. The Philadelphia 76ers to win the Eastern Conference plus 550.
No appeal. You don't have to get that. That was easy. No appeal. They're not beating the Celtics. Did you see my man the other night? You know, they were playing Cleveland. He had no interest in playing. Zero. And then the next night they went. Or no, it was the game before. I forget. And then there was Cleveland. The next night he couldn't play against Minnesota. He does not have competitive stamina. He just doesn't. He's great player, but he has no competitive. He's not going to play all the time. No way.
He had a sore hip. Matt Youmans joins us next.
I have a sore hip watching him.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's so much to be thankful for: family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on a college football Saturday, final Saturday of the regular season. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, and joining us now in studio here in downtown Las Vegas, the one and only Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight.
Oh, I love it.
And also VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. How was your trip to Hawaii? You're back. Saw your Purdue Boilermakers cut down the nets in Maui.
It's a great, great tournament. Yeah. It always is every year. But I just had five of the top 11 teams in the nation. You know, I think it was the best college basketball holiday tournament field ever. You had teams 1, 2, 4, 7, and 11. So it was a great trip. But I can tell you what, the trip is over because I'm home and I woke up. I fell asleep for about an hour before I came in here. And I woke up and I think it was 10 degrees in my house. You're not in Hawaii anymore. It's getting cold in Vegas right now.
Yeah. It's cold here, Matt. Don't come back east. Stay there. You look good in your Circa sweatshirt there. So what did you learn? I know we're a long way from talking about. What did you learn watching all these good teams? Did they still play in that high school gym? I didn't watch any of it.
No, because of the wildfires in Maui, they moved the tournament to Honolulu and played at the University of Hawaii in a much bigger arena, 10,000-seat arena. So had pretty good crowds there. What I learned was that Kansas is not as good as its hype. Yeah, that was the number one team going into it. You can't win in college basketball these days, at least at the highest level, and win as many games as you need to if you don't have three-point shooting, and Kansas doesn't have it right now. They're going to need a couple guys to step up and knock down threes, and the perimeter shootings are a bit of a problem for Kansas. I also learned that Marquette is damn good. Yeah. Purdue was fortunate to beat Marquette. You know, when you have a 7'4", 300-pound center, that's kind of like an ace up your sleeve who's unstoppable for the most part. But Marquette's got really good guards, well-rounded team, and that's a team you have to take seriously.
Yeah, no, Tyler Kolek, the Marquette point guard. He's a fun player to watch there in the Big East there for our college basketball lovers. All right, let's talk some football. We'll get to your college football card in the next segment. Let's do the NFL here, and we'll start with the game in Philadelphia. This is a marquee game, big game for the Buffalo Bills trying to stay in this playoff race. They are three-point dogs on the road against the Eagles, total 48.5 here. Do you see this as a spot to where Buffalo can maybe shock the world and get back into this thing?
Well, I don't think it'd shock the world if the Bills won the game. They're a pretty good team. Yeah. But the Eagles, you guys, I'm sure, have talked about the Eagles at length. And the issue I have is they keep skating by in a lot of these games that you feel like the Eagles should lose. I thought they probably should have lost to Dallas. I thought they probably should have lost to Kansas City on Monday night. They continue to find ways to win close games. Jalen Hurts took 5 sacks, threw a pick, and the Eagles were outgained 336 to 238 by the Chiefs. Well, after the Chiefs and Cowboys games, now they have the 49ers on deck. This is a tough scheduling spot. I just continue to feel like the Philadelphia is playing with fire in a lot of these games. Buffalo has lost 5 games by 6 points or fewer. It's a desperate team in need of a big win right now outside the AFC playoff picture. And this is also a role that I think kind of fits Josh Allen, Buffalo quarterback, who's 11-5-1 against the spread as a road dog. And I think the offensive coordinator change, you know, it seemed to help him last week. I don't know if that was a one-week deal against the Jets or what. But I like the Bills' situation here coming into it. This number was 3.5 a couple of days ago, but still take 3 here with the Bills.
You know, Josh Allen, Matt, he's 16-8-2 against the spread as a dog in a regular season. So it does give you a chance here. And you know, the one thing he's able to do is I agree. You know, the Eagles have kind of been on the border. But when you look at what Mahomes' movement hurt Philadelphia, and Allen, I think, has to have that same kind of movement if they're going to. And we know this about Philly. If Buffalo can hold up physically with the run and play from in front, it'll be a tough game for the Eagles.
You know, that's one thing we talk about with Josh Allen a lot. He runs too much. He's going to get banged up at the end of the season. They probably can't win until, you know, in the playoffs because Josh Allen's too banged up. But the Bills really can't win, and they can't be as effective as they need to be offensively if Josh Allen doesn't run. So in a game like this, he'll have to be on the run.
Yeah, there'll be no playoffs if he doesn't run the football, so then no point saving it now. How about the game? We were talking about this one a little bit earlier here. Michael kind of identified this as his line of the week. It's the Buccaneers and the Colts. Right now, Indy, a 2.5-point home favorite here, coming off of the bye, total 44.5.
As in his line of the week, he likes the Colts or not?
He likes Tampa. If it ever got to 3. Okay. If it ever got to 3, he'd take the 3 with the Bucs.
Yeah, a couple of these games, and these the two plays I kind of threw in here are the Texans and the Colts, and I'm not crazy about them. I'll bet, you know, let's say I'll bet McRib money on these games, if anything. But I think Gardner Minshew and Jonathan Taylor could bust out a little bit here. And Taylor has failed to top 100 yards rushing in 10 consecutive games. This is a Colts offense that put up 456 yards and 38 points on the Cleveland defense in week 7. The Colts are capable. I think the big thing that just kind of tipped the scales towards the Colts for me in this game is all the injuries that Tampa Bay has on defense right now. Levante David, the linebacker, the team's leading tackler, out. Jamel Dean, cornerback, out. Looks like linebacker Devin White and also corner Carlton Davis might miss this game. If you're down those 4 players on defense, I think it's going to be tough for a Tampa Bay D to help, you know, to win this game, get enough stops to win this game. So I just kind of tipped the things in favor of the Colts for me.
You know, I passed on. I ended up not doing it because I was concerned about this Bucks defense, especially considering over the last six games they've given up over 390 yards combined in a 1-5 run. And now you're removing defensive starters from it. So it made me very hesitant. Although, you know, Minshew, when the opponent scores over 20 points, he's 1-16 straight up. So I worried about that, too. The Houston-Jacksonville game, I wanted to go Jacksonville. But when you break down Lawrence's numbers against zone versus man, he struggles. He struggles against zone coverage. And Houston's going to play zone the whole game. So I was a little bit hesitant about going there. And I thought, really, the right play is the Texans.
Yeah, we'll find out. I think Texans on a teaser is a much better play if you want to knock this up to, you know, plus 7.5 or 8. And this is another game. This, I said, this kind of a throw-in pick for me because I've been stubborn, anti-Jaguars. And obviously, they beat down the Titans a week ago. But Trevor Lawrence, 1-4 in his career against Houston with 7 interceptions, 4 TD passes. Texans have obviously won 10 of the past 11 in the series. I think everybody knows that by now. 16-3 in the past 19, 10-1 in the past 11, and they won 37-17 in week 3 in Jacksonville. That's just enough for me to take the home dog here. And C.J. Stroud's got a hot hand. He's being overhyped by a lot of people right now. But he is playing well. And just my anti-Jaguars stance is going to push me to the Texans one more time. I tell you what, man, it's a tough week to find, especially when we are already had 4 games off the board. It's a tough week to find 5 sides in the NFL.
Well, Matt, yeah. There's 12 games and 11 of them are under 3.5. You're basically doing all picks. It's a pick'em weekend.
Yeah. Yep.
You know?
Well, how about the pick'em contest in the AFC North? The Steelers at the Bengals. This will be the first game. Jake Browning is starting at quarterback for Cincinnati, obviously with Joe Burrow out for the rest of the season. The line is it's bounced to kind of between 1.5, 2. There's even a 2.5 where we're sitting here at Circa. The total, though, is at 35.5. Still value here on the black and gold?
Well, yeah, I like the Steelers a little bit in this game, too. I think the offensive coordinator change is going to help a little bit because you're going to a play caller and the quarterback's coach, Mike Sullivan, who I think is going to change things a little bit from the stale Matt Canada system. And, you know, it boggles my mind. Michael, I'll ask you, how does a guy like Matt Canada keep his job for so long when you go 40-some consecutive games without topping 400 yards as an offense? I think this offensive coordinator change is long overdue.
Yeah, it is. And I think Mike tried to stick with it as long as he can. I mean, what's interesting is the last time they scored 30-some points was against the Bengals. Remember that 37-30 game? It was 37-23, and they scored the touchdown late in the game last year. I think that's when they got to 30. I mean, they've 45 games without over 400 yards so far, you know, and never got any better. Here's the issue I have is I wanted to take Pittsburgh. I do. I like Pittsburgh because when Pittsburgh can run the ball, which they should be able to against a bad Bengal run defense, it opens up their offense and it gives them their offensive, when Canada was running it, a broader design. And so this Bengal defense, to me, Matt, I have a hard time standing behind it. If they don't turn it over with their defense, how do they create, how do they stop people? And then here's the issue. The Bengals are 31st in rushing attempts. They were 4th in passing attempts. How are you going to put 4 passing attempts on Jake Browning? I mean, if he's throwing it that much, you're losing.
Yeah, I've got a lot of numbers here on the Pittsburgh offense, the Cincinnati defense, and just a lot of things we can talk about. But it comes down to, hey, the Steelers are also like the Iowa Hawkeyes of the NFL, right? They find ways to win these ugly games and probably find a way to win this one against Jake Browning.
Maybe it'll be like 13-10, like the Iowa-Nebraska game that we saw yesterday. With that game going under the total of 25.5, still unbelievable stuff there in college football. Speaking of which, we will get into Matt Youmans' full college football card when we wrap up the show next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betsgiving is back. It's not going well for your boy, but all of VSiN's hosts, writers, and analysts are competing in a week-long competition to see who is the best bettor at VSiN. Follow all the bets and leaderboard at VSiN.com or go to the DK Sportsbook app. Select social, then betting groups where you'll be able to join our Betsgiving group to follow the action. Betsgiving, it's been a lot of fun. Not a lot of wins, though. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Bebfe, Michael Lombardi on the great state of New Jersey. Matt Eumanns in studio with us for two segments as we wrap up the show here on this College Football Saturday. So let's get to it. The game going on in Ann Arbor. Kickoff in about 20 minutes. Michigan, a three-point favorite, total at 46. You like the side and total in this one.
Yeah, these Big Ten defenses, I think the numbers are deflated. You know, when you talk about inflated numbers offensively, I really feel like the Big Ten, you see all these scoring defenses rank in the top 10. That's because so many bad offenses in the Big Ten. Yeah. And I'm not sure. You know, last year we talked about how dominant the Michigan defense was. And then Purdue put up almost 500 yards and outgained Michigan by 70 or 80 yards in the Big Ten championship game. And then Michigan allowed 50 points to TCU in the playoffs. So do we really know these defenses are that dominant? But I will say this. I would expect both coaches to play this really close to the vest today because you've got a quarterback for Kyle McCord in Ohio State who's hobbled right now. He's nowhere near 100%. He is banged up. So they're going to limit what Kyle McCord can do. And then on the Michigan side, J.J. McCarthy has been banged up. I hear he's cleared and he's good to go today. But again, Michigan's going to run the ball primarily. And you're going to have two teams. They're going to play very conservatively offensively. Michigan has dominated the last 2 years. You know, where football, people love to talk about the skill position players and Marvin Harrison Jr. and guys like that. But Michigan has dominated this game the last 2 years at the line of scrimmage on offense and defense. And until Ohio State can prove that it has turned the tables, I got to go with the team that's been a lot more physical in the last two matchups. And that's Michigan. And I think the Wolverines probably win this game by about 10 today.
Do you think they'll let Matt? I agree with your analysis completely. Like, it's hard to judge how good these defensive these because we don't see great offenses. Mm-hmm. So, like, do you think they're going to cut? Like, I actually think J.J. McCarthy could be a really good player if they cut him loose. Do you think they'll cut him loose today?
Well, I think the reason they haven't cut him loose is from what I've been told is he's been banged up. He's had a shoulder issue, and that's why he wasn't able to throw it that much and why Michigan ran the ball 30 consecutive times in the second half against Ohio State. But I've heard he's better and he's good to go today. I don't know if they'll cut him loose, but I think you're right that McCarthy, when you do cut him loose, can be a really good quarterback. Supposedly he's healthy, so I do think you'll see him throw it more today. But it's still going to be, I think, a really conservatively called game by both offensive coordinators.
Well, yeah, you're saying that Ohio State's not as physical. Don't let Ryan Day hear you say that.
Oh, just stop.
Don't let Ryan Day.
Okay, Ryan Day is Ryan Day's a clown.
It's Ohio versus the world.
He inherited a program that was rolling when Urban Meyer left. Yeah, he's probably a decent offensive coordinator, and it's easy to recruit to Ohio State. But let's face it, Notre Dame blew that game at the end. Notre Dame should have beat Ohio State. And then for Ryan Day to step up and start talking trash like that at the end, just shut up. All right. You were lucky as hell to win that game. Lucky as hell to win that game. Then you start talking trash to Lou Holtz. Come on.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I do. I love that one there.
We'll see if he cuts another promo after today's game. Let's go to the game that also is kicking off in about 20 minutes in Baton Rouge, Texas A&M against LSU. The Tigers right now, 11-point favorites, total 67. Some interest coming in on the Aggies as we're getting close to kickoff here.
Well, I think LSU is, and Brian Kelly wants a Heisman winner.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels, Michael talked about it. We were on the show last week. He's got the numbers of a Heisman winner right now with a big performance today against the Texas A&M team. You got things lacking some motivation anyway. I would expect Daniels to put on a show. The total is 67.5. I think LSU is going to put up 40 plus maybe 50 points today, and they're going to try to get, you know, make one last big push for Jaden Daniels for the Heisman. That's, you know, I don't play many double-digit favorites, but I've talked to a couple people in Baton Rouge this week, and they're like, oh, yeah, oh, LSU's going to try to pile it on the Aggies, lay the points, so hopefully that's a good play.
How about you got the battle of the state of Arizona? Arizona's playing as good a football as anybody in the country right now. It's shockingly defensively, too. And Noah Fant has been unbelievable. Little small quarterback, but he's made a lot of plays. Arizona State has been feisty in these kind of situations when the level hasn't been as good. But you're going to lay the points here.
Oh, it's interesting because when Jaden DeLauro went down and Noah Fifita stepped up as the backup quarterback, just a little guy, and you think, man, Arizona's going to be in trouble with him. And he's been electric since he's been in there. And this Arizona team's been outstanding. Michael, I know you probably know Jed Fish from when he was quarterback's coach with the Patriots. You know, he goes to Tucson, and he's got a total rebuild job he's got to do because that Arizona program lost, I think, somewhere around 20 consecutive games. And to take it from where it was then to where it is now, he's coach of the year. Yep. I think he's coach of the year in college football. This team is rolling. I don't think you want to step in front of Arizona right now. So I lay the points with the Cats, even a rivalry game against an Arizona State team that has improved too.
What about Matt, the one thing I'll say about this game, Noah was the guy that turned his program around. He got him from El Cerrito. He got him because nobody wanted the size. The kid was incredibly productive in high school, incredibly. And T-Mac, the receiver, number four, was going to Oregon. And all that flipped when they got Fita. And he got him, he got the linebacker, and so the program flipped, and then they brought in DeLaura, who kind of didn't give a chance because he was Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. But that injury at Stanford changed the dynamic of the team, and this defense has now become unbelievable. They play hard. They're physical. I mean, they beat Utah at their own game, which was physicality.
There's no doubt about that. I was really impressed last week when the Wildcats beat down Utah, Kyle Whittingham team. I said, you better be taking Arizona seriously at this point. And you talked about McMillan, the wide receiver. He's got to be a first-round draft pick, right, Michael? I mean, that guy's a player.
I mean, I've watched a lot of them, you know, because I'm very close to Jed, and I go spend time at their program every summer. He's a faster Larry Fitzgerald. And I don't say that, you know, I don't throw compliments around very much, but he's got unbelievable hands. He's really good with the ball in his hands, and he's got a little bit more burst to him than Larry did. And look, I love Larry. Larry was a Valley Forge Military Academy graduate like I am, so I have a special place in my heart for Larry. But this kid is sensational, and I mean, he's going to play one more year and come out because he's ready to go. You want to think he's a jump ball receiver, but he's a little bit different, and his hands are incredible. And their running backs, I don't know if people have watched their team. They'll be on today at 3:30. Their running backs are really good. Coleman is, and he's a sophomore. He's a legitimate runner.
You know, you look back on it now and you say, what was the worst point spread of the college football season? What was the worst line? Probably USC as a 24-point favorite against Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, the way that those two teams have ended the season, my goodness. USC, who knows what they're going to put together for their bowl game. How about Kentucky and Louisville, though, the other Wildcats? Right now, they're 7.5-point dogs, total 47.5.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. We're about out of time here. But Louisville clinched the ACC title game appearance last week with the win at Miami. And you got to think it's a bit of a flat spot. They celebrated accordingly. And you're going to get Kentucky's best shot here in a rivalry game because Wildcats have had a disappointing season, but this is a chance to kind of make up for some of those disappointments.
I mean, I want to ask you, you know, there's rumors that Mark Stoops is in the Texas A&M gig. If Ryan Day, then there's also rumors of Ryan Day. We haven't posted any numbers. Who's the next head coach at A&M? Matt, who would you bet on?
I think Lane Kiffin's going to be in the mix, even though I'm not a huge Lane Kiffin fan. I think, you know, I would take him before I would take Stoops or Ryan Day if I'm Texas A&M.
Isn't Elko in the mix?
Mike Elko.
I think he re-signed his contract at Duke. He signed an extension. He's the third highest paid coach in the ACC and got his assistants up to the point where they're the top assistant payroll in the ACC.
I'll say this, and I don't know if he's going to come back, but the one guy who would go there, and I know he would win because he's diabolical about winning, is Urban Meyer. If A&M wants to get a big name and ensure that they're going to win, Urban Meyer's going to win if he comes back. And that's a guy I think I would go after.
I mean, it would make sense. So Michigan State sounds like they're going to go after Jonathan Smith. So,
yeah.
And Urban would take the job at a reduced rate, which is what A&M's offering people out there. They're not paying the top dollar. I think it's a harder job than most people think at A&M, because I think you're right in picking against them today, because they have such a high payroll. To change that culture down there is going to be a little bit of a shock.
Uh-huh.
And you've recruited these players based on that payroll.
I mean, can you imagine Urban Meyer with the A&M resources? That could definitely be a powerhouse team in the SEC West out there in Aggieland. We got about 25 seconds left, obviously, up against it here. But Michigan, Ohio State is going to be the game of the day. Any other fun plays that you have? Any favorites that you like in this game too?
I do like Hawaii tonight, the late night game. Hawaii is a home dog.
Of course you do.
And San Diego State as a home dog, and Brady Hilk's last game as coach.
Well, Mountain
of course
West
you would
action.
Pick a game that's late, because you haven't had any sleep. You're going to stay awake and watch it. We love you, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you to producer Elliot Bowman. For Matt Humes, I'm Femi Bedface, and good luck with the bets. JBT and Pam coming up next.